have the husband and wife combination. That's my brother and Lauren's sister, Mitch and Meredith Thornton.
Yeah.
How is everyone? Well, I'm absolutely pumped to be sharing with you guys tonight. I love it when I get the opportunity to speak. Takes practice. Might not be the best at it, but I love it. It's good on Friday nights, and it's really good to see a bunch of the youth here tonight. And you guys are great. I was just thinking before about Sunday nights and how, like, to be honest, they're just a little bit small at the moment. I'd just like to encourage everyone on a Sunday morning, let's just start speaking into some of the adults. On a Sunday night, you're probably just preparing dinner, but maybe you should come on a Sunday night to church or something like that. Right, because Sunday night church is awesome, and Andrew always says, why not, let's get double the worship in and double the word in, why not, it's just awesome. So I'm going to be speaking tonight about, my title tonight is Running the Race, and while I was reading in the Bible yesterday, trying to think of something in the afternoon on what to speak, I said to myself, all right, I'm going to try and find something about grace or something. So I started looking up some stuff, and I found this awesome Bible verse in there. And then I thought to myself, while I was praying about it, just in my mind, I felt like God saying, hang on, you're not preparing, let me show you something. And then all I did was look on the other side of the page, and there was a Bible verse that I just read, and I just felt like God wanted me to share that to you guys tonight. And I felt like He shared that with me yesterday. And so I really like what I'm going to be sharing tonight, and it's running the race. And so I love races, and I've always loved races, because cross-country time at school, that was my time of the whole entire year at school. So the whole entire year at school, people come to class and they, you know, smash science out or smash maths out or English out or whatever. My time of year was basically, besides the rugby, it was one time of year, and I smashed that out, and I just loved it. Cross country was my favorite thing to look forward to at school, and I used to rock up. I'd be like, you know, cross country is like, you know, 4 months away, and people just don't even care, but I really cared about it. And to run a race, you need to be, you need to shed some weight off. You need to strip some baggage off that slows you down. And that's something that I did. I trained, and I trained. You know, I might not look big or nothing, but I was very skinny going back a few years. But I felt like you still needed to shed whatever it was on you, so you could go even faster. Because everyone's got a little bit of baggage, and to run a race, you need to have some endurance also. And so when you run, you can't just be like those 100-meter cats that give up in 12 or 13 seconds, but you need to have some endurance where you just go the whole length. And that's what I loved about cross country, was that the cross country people, they were the strong guys. The athletics kind of went 100-meter sprint. They just went for glory, and, you know, their hands up in the air after they finished the 100-meter race. I wasn't a big fan of that. So you need endurance when you're running a race, I believe, and that takes a lot of discipline, and you need to be training. I remember my dad teaching me how to build endurance, and me and Adrian did it, and that was it between Telegraph Pole, when you used to go for a run in the Arvo after school or whenever in the morning. One Telegraph Pole, you'd be running and you just jog. Then the next one, you'd sprint. Then the next one, you'd jog. Then the next one, you'd sprint. And I just literally done that for K's. And that's what built my endurance. And for me to win a cross-country race, the other thing I had to do was focus. And so on the day, or even the day before, I'd be always, like, hey, just during science, I'd be thinking about the cross-country, how I'm going to win it, how I'm going to smash other people. That's what was going through my mind. And then 10 minutes before the race, everyone's lined up. People are talking to me. I don't even know they're talking to me. I am just focused on the race. Just completely focused. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race of God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." I am pumped to be here. I am pumped to win a race. I want to do a cross-country race now. Not really. But, so the first thing I get out of this is that we need to strip away the sin that is holding us back from the purpose and the plans that God has got for us, that He's already planned out before we were even born, before our mum was born, before our great-grandmother was born, and so on. He's already got something planned out, and we need to strip that sin or strip whatever's holding us back that's going to stop us from running the race that God has got planned for us. And it takes time. So when we build endurance, it takes discipline, right? So this is my second point. The first point was stripping, actually. My second point now is endurance. Day after day, you need to have a healthy relationship with Jesus, and that is the endurance. So when you have the endurance with Jesus, that's like every single day you're going to go out and you're going to read the Bible, you're going to pray to God in your quiet time, and you're going to give praise to Him. And I believe the endurance is the key for winning the race in a long-term goal. We survive by keeping our focus. And so my third point is having a focus on God. We need to keep our eyes fixed on God. And if we don't keep our eyes fixed on God, then I don't know where you're going to go. You're just going to go to where you want to go. But God's got a different plan and a purpose for us. And if we don't keep our eyes fixed on God, the creator of all earth, all the universe and everything, then we're just going to fall beyond what we could be doing. And I love it how that God's got this plan for me. And for me to jump on board of that is that I just need to give up my life. I need to sacrifice myself and accept that Jesus died on the cross for me. I've got to strip away the sin that's in my life and keep doing that every single day and shredding off the baggage that's holding me down. I've got to build endurance. I mean, endurance is the journaling that we do every day. Yeah. And then after that, we just keep our eyes fixed on God. It's so simple. We accept Jesus into our life and we just focus on Jesus in everything that we do. Every single thing that we do when we go to work, we focus on Jesus. And we are the light. When we go to our workplaces, Jesus shines through us for other people. And it sometimes can be hard, but that's when the endurance comes in. And all of that time when we've been praying, we've been worshiping God, we've been journaling, that's when that kicks in when the times are hard, because we've got the endurance to push through the hard times. And so I just want to finish with this as a little diagram. But like, say if this day was today here, and then tomorrow's here, and then the next day is there. But because days don't just jump, and it goes by second, and it's just continuously moving along. And here's the race, here's last, and here's what God's got for you. I just want to ask where everyone is in that race every single day. And so as that moves along, where are you at that in that race with Jesus? That plan that God has for you. And I believe that sign that Jesus showed me yesterday was, where are you in that race, Mitch? Where are you as that race moves along every single day? Where are we in that race? Where are we in that when we're in our workplaces? Have we fallen short and started to come last in that race because we're not being the best example? Or are we winning that race and saying to these showing great examples of who we are and who we're meant to be? And we're people that that Jesus says who we are, and we're not what other people say we are. And so that's just what I want to finish on, is where are you in the race? And I encourage everyone every day to take it second by second and put in the endurance sort of strength. And don't do it for a week, but do it for a lifetime. Follow Jesus for a lifetime and build that endurance every single day, because when the storm comes, the endurance will come in, and that's when Jesus will pick you up out of the storm and push you right through it, because you're a survivor. We're not weak people, but we're strong people in Christ, and God gives us the strength to keep on going forward. It's not us. Cool. We're going to welcome up Mary now. Mary's going to come and speak. Now, I don't know, do you need the Bible?
Yes, please. You can take your iPad.
You want my iPad?
No, it's okay. I don't need the iPad. I need my stuff, though. Oh, sorry. Jill's really good at running, but I'm very good at sitting on stools. So I'm going to sit on a stool. Even though he talked about running, that's good, because he told me I had too much stuff written down, it was going to go for too long, but he was really quick, so I've got plenty of time, which is good. I'm glad you went first, because you did an awesome job. So we should welcome Andrew and Maya back. That's awesome that they're back, it's so exciting. But it means we get a chance, because Andrew's still having some time off, which is cool. We get to share stuff with you today, and there's a flower here because it's Mother's Day. And I'm a flowery sort of person, and I like flowers, so that's why there's a flower. And I just want to talk to you tonight about how to just be happy, because flowers are also happy, and it's so awesome just hearing from Mitch about the life that God has for us and his plan, and like the endurance and the focus and the strength that God gives us. But what happens when we wake up tomorrow morning and we just feel lousy, or we just feel lazy, and we don't want to get up, we don't want to go to work, we don't want to go to school? Like, what's going to keep us going? What's going to give us the joy and the happiness that we need for every single day to stay focused on God's plan? And it's just something that's really been hitting me lately, and something that's really been a revelation for me. But I'm just going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. You can find it too if you have a Bible. So it says, "For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on amongst nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. And I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me." And it's just, it's crazy that someone wrote that in the Bible. They wrote that down, and they said that it doesn't matter whether I've got lots or whether I've got nothing, whether I'm full or whether I'm empty, but I know that through Christ I can be happy, I can be content, I can make it through anything in every single circumstance. And that's just, it's a crazy attitude to have. How do we get that? How do we feel like that every day? How do we wake up in the morning feeling like we can get through anything today, that we can be content no matter what circumstance we face for the day, because of God, because of the strength that Christ gives us? So I've been reading a bit of Jesus Is lately. Maybe a few other people have been reading it. It's a book by an American author, Judith Smith. And there's a chapter in that book about happiness. And it talks about the gospel and how the good news of Jesus Christ should just give us joy for our whole lives, just giving us renewing joy for every day. And there's a quote from it, just says that our strength is connected to our joy, and our joy is connected to the gospel that we believe in. So I don't know if you're here tonight, and maybe this like really sunk in for me, because I've kind of grown up with God, and maybe there was never one amazing moment where I was like, oh my gosh, God exists, Jesus is real, he did this, he loves me, he saved my life. But I've just kind of grown up with that. I've kind of always known about it. And it's always like, I've always just accepted it because it's there. And I don't know whether you're here tonight, maybe you don't know about that, maybe you don't understand that fully, but it says in the Bible that God sent his son to die for us and to give us a new life and to give us eternity with him and a relationship with him. And that is the most joyful thing that you can ever hear. That's what gives us happiness. That's what gives us peace for every single day. The joy that is like in the truth, in the gospel, that if you believe in that, you can have joy for every single day. So yeah, I think having that joy and remembering that joy comes down to the discipline that you have in every day in your life. It comes down to remembering God. So the first thing that I've got there is that it's the joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah 8 verse 10, it says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." It's not about our own efforts. It's not about who we think we are. It's not about what people think we are. It's about God. It's His joy that gives us strength. It's what we get from Him that's going to give us the strength and the joy that we need for every single day if we focus on His joy and not on ourselves. Not depending on things in life to make us happy, on friends or relationships or our family or our job or a house or the stuff that we have, but depending on joy from God, from the Lord that's going to give us strength. The second one is another quote. It's from Jesus, and it's just that our joy has to be first found in Him. It says that true happiness cannot be found in anything else unless it is first found in God. So it kind of doesn't matter where else you're going in life, and you can keep trying, you can keep striving for the best thing, for the next thing to come up, but you'll never find true happiness unless you have first found it in God. Unless you have first realized that He created you, that He loves you, that He has a plan for your life and He came to save you, and then you can have true joy, and then God can bless you with so much more joy in every other area of your life. And it just reminds me of another verse in the Bible from Matthew 6, 33, where it says to seek first the kingdom of God and He'll take care of everything else. So I don't want joy in my life from things that I kind of like or things that are nice if I'm seeking after those things first. I don't want to wake up and feel happy because I've got a nice house or because everything's pretty or because I've got a good job to go to that day or just because I feel like I'm happy that day. I don't want those things to be what's priority. I don't want to be happy because I'm putting those things above God. I want to be happy in God first. I want to have joy in His truth, in His life, in what He's given me, so that He can then bless me with everything else in life and that I can continue to have joy every single day from the things that He's given me because I'm firmly certain and confident in the joy of His truth and of His salvation first. And nothing else gets to overtake that. The third thing I've got is just to have and be actively joyful. And that I hope we can just be encouraged that we can just build discipline in our lives, build discipline in God, and just remember Him in every single day, that we have so much joy in our lives because of His salvation, because of His truth, because of the gospel that has been given to us, that we can just have that overflowing out from us. I just pray for all of us that we can have it so certain in our hearts that we believe in His joy and His truth, that that comes to the surface every day, that people can see that on our faces, that it flows out from us to the people around us, to our family and our friends, that we believe in it so much and we know that it's so true that we can't help but tell other people about it, that it can't help but just pour out of us that He has joy and He has truth and He has happiness for your life, and that we just want our friends to know about that. And it can be completely natural because it's completely true in our lives and we believe in it 100%. So if you come to church tonight and it feels like it's religion or it feels like it's hard or it's not happy, then you haven't really connected with Jesus. You need to just connect with Him, to believe in Him and to know His truth and to feel that He's a real person, a real spirit that can be within you, that can give you life, that can sustain you forever. And then you won't feel like it's religion. It will feel like it's just life, that it's true, that it's joyful, that it's everything that God has for you, and it's not based on a religion or it's not based on just a name or a title, but that it's something that you live out really every day. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, says that everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know the one who invites us to God. It says in the Bible that you can have everything you need to go into living this amazing life when you get to know God, when you get to know Jesus, his son, when you get to know the truth of his salvation and the reality of what he's done for us and the joy that comes from that. And it says that that will give you the joy you need for every day if you really get to know him and you really commit to him. And it's the same as in some of the other points where it's just about seeking God first and really sitting in his presence and really finding time to connect with him, to feel that it's a real relationship, that he can build you up every day, that he can give you the joy you need for every single day. Yeah, spending time getting to know him, and that will just encourage you to believe in the gospel, to believe in the joy that he has, in the truth that he's given to us, that he's written down for us, that we can see every day. And then the more time that we do that, the more that we just spend time with God, the more natural it will be that will just flow out of us, that we'll tell our friends, that we'll tell the people around us, and it will just come from us. There's another verse just in Colossians 4, verse 12, and it just says, it's someone else is praying for the people in Colossians, whatever. But it just says to stand firm, mature, and confident in everything God wants you to do. It talks about doing your best at the job that God has given you, not comparing yourself to other people, not striving for joy, not trying to find happiness in other people or in other stuff in life, but just standing firm and being mature and confident in doing what God has given you to do. Having joy that he's given you a purpose and given you a meaning for life that no one else has, everyone else is different to you, but God has created you for that specific thing. And that you can stand firm and be mature and be confident in that and have hope in that and not have to worry about anything else, but just do your best in what he's given you to do and just be the best that he's created you to be. So yeah, it has gone really quick, but that's all right. That's cool. I just hope that, I hope that we can be encouraged and really have a new revelation of what joy is about. That every single day we can wake up and we can, no matter what we're feeling or no matter what's going around in the rest of our lives, that we can know that if we believe in God and we believe in his gospel, then that will give us strength and that will give us joy. And I really just pray for all of us that it will be so real and so natural in our lives that it will flow out to everyone around us. And it will be good. I'm going to pray. Let's stand together. Let's just close our eyes. But I don't know, have a smile on your face. Be happy that God has brought you here today. God, I thank you that you've brought us here right now, God. God, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us, that you gave us joy and a hope and a future and a relationship with you, God. God, I pray for anyone that tonight it's their first time to know that, to see and to hear and to believe in your truth, God. God, I pray that you're moving in our hearts, God. We believe that you're real and we believe that you're a part of us, God. God, we want to pray for anyone who needs to feel your joy for every day, God, that we can really commit ourselves to you and we can really believe in your truth so that we can have joy for every single day of our lives, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. If you feel like God's speaking to you tonight, or you feel like you don't know him, or you feel like you're distant, you're not sure about God, or you're not sure where you stand, just open up your heart to him tonight. Be ready, be happy, be at peace. Let God into your heart, let God into your mind and into your life. Know that he loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He created you for a purpose, and that he sent his son to die for you as a sacrifice so that he can know you personally. He wants to be your friend, he wants to connect with you. Because of how much he loves you. If you really believe that in your heart, we're going to say a prayer. It's going to come up on the screen. You can have a look at it. We're going to say it all together, all at once. If you really want to make that commitment, if you really feel like God's told you that he wants to know you more, if you can really feel him in your heart and in his presence, Let's pray this together and really mean it and really go from here and believe in every day for his strength and for his joy. So let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Amen.